Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, football fans. Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
The go through some emails, check your calendar, see that you have a 45-minute break in the day between meetings, realize this is your moment, so you drive right to McDonald's to pick up something extra delicious ASAP. Meal.
Thank you.
There's a meal for every moment at McDonald's.
Buy one of your select faves and get another for just a dollar every morning, like a sausage McMuffin or hash browns.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Price and participation may vary. Valid for product of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Combo meal valid when product served.
Welcome to episode number 80 of the LSR podcast. My name is Matt Brown, joined each and every week by the brightest minds in all of the gaming industry. With me, I have Dustin Galker. I have Adam Candy. You should, in fact, follow them on the Twitter machine at Adam Candy. That is two E's, no Y, at Dustin Galker. If you want to really be disappointed, you can follow me on Twitter at Matt Brown M2. We're going to talk a little bit about who might end up third in this crazy sports betting gambling race. We have an operator that's going to add a few more states, so they might start to make a little noise in the market as well. We've got some, we also have some really massive numbers that are going on out there, and that's where we're going to kick things off. Adam, we are now officially with a massive amount of money that is being bet in sports betting. Listen, we've talked about this a ton. We were saying, can you imagine? We're going to be at $1 billion before we know it. And that has come and gone. And here we are with an October number that it really is. Whenever we look at how far we've come in such a short amount of time, is pretty crazy.
Without question. And I'll start with the number and then I'll get into the what it means portion. So we look at Colorado for last month in October, and we see $210 million in handle for a very young market. I mean, this is a market that only launched in May, and 210 is a big number. It is a record for Colorado. And if you look at every jurisdiction that has legal sports betting for the month of October, 13 out of 15 set monthly records for handle. So those are the numbers. Now, here's what it means. That means that we are just short of $3 billion without Illinois factored in yet, because Illinois uses some funky system of Pony Express and all of the mail machines that the Postmaster General threw into the garbage to get its results in. So we won't know what actually happened in Illinois until sometime in December. But that said, it means that the conversations that we had back in mid-2018 when PASPA fell and talked about, well, if New Jersey and Pennsylvania and other states that come aboard, if they start to gain, will that mean that Nevada falls? No, not at all. It means that there are a lot more sports bettors out there than anyone thought, because New Jersey is north of $800 million in October, and Nevada set its own record up in the, I believe in the 660 range for the last month. So we have states across the country that are setting handle records. And keep in mind, it's in the middle of the pandemic when not a lot of people are visiting casinos. So more of it is being centered into the mobile market. And that is what has been driving growth.
Yeah, it's been crazy. And you talk about, you know, we were always on board with the fact that Nevada wasn't ever going to fall off as far as like just completely fall off. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, one, you get a unique experience, although not during the pandemic, but you do get a unique experience coming out to Vegas and taking in everything that Vegas has to offer. And then also, hey, look, we still have Arizona, we still have Utah, we still have California, all within driving distance, feeder markets to this, to Las Vegas specifically. And then even up in North Nevada, you know, there's still, you can still easily reach, get across the border up there coming in from California and various states. And so, yeah, I mean, we knew that this thing was not going to completely fall off, but you know, the numbers in these other states has just continued to really balloon. And Dustin, you know, we're taking a look at this at 3 billion in handle for October. And again, we haven't had the maturity really of a lot of these markets quite yet. So when we're having this conversation, you know, about October in 2021, when we're having this a year from now, I mean, are we talking 4 billion? Are we talking more than that? I mean, I don't think it's really out of the question to question that.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to be talking about a much bigger number next year. I mean, we're adding states. You're right. None of these are mature. I mean, New Jersey is the farthest along of all of these. That's not anywhere near maturity either, I don't think. I mean, we're definitely going to see a billion plus in a month at some point, whether that's this year or next year. But that's where we're headed for sure. And, you know, we're going to see, I got to imagine we're going to see potentially even bigger numbers November and December in the non-Nevada markets. Basketball has proven to be a big winner in a lot of these states. We're adding into the pent-up demand for betting on football and college football, even with the jankiness of the schedule. We have college basketball starting. We have the NBA coming back in December. We're going to have all the sports back again for a little while, which should lead to, you know, just absolutely crazy numbers. Whether we're going to beat the October September numbers remains to be seen, but they're gonna be big numbers, and we're gonna continue seeing growth in just about every state. We're nowhere near maturity in any of these states.
Yeah, Adam, that was actually, I'm glad Dustin brought that up, because that was where I was gonna follow up with you here. I mean, you know, you're plugged in. We do a bunch of content around everything that's going on in the industry with sports and stuff, and so when we look at what December might be, and I know we were talking about, and we talked to a bunch of sports books, and we talked to a bunch of bookmakers who were like, yeah, we expect this, we expect that, we expect that. So now we look at December, and granted, it will only be a few days of the NBA being back, but we are going to have college basketball, the NBA, NCAA basketball is obviously still going. We're going to have all the bowl games that are going to be going on in December as well. So even if people haven't been following college football this year, we all know people play these bowl pools. People like get interested in the Pinstripe Bowl and all the things, you know, and all the, you know, all the stuff like that, that they could not possibly care less about the two teams involved throughout the course of the regular season, but they care then. And so bowl games, NBA, college basketball, NFL, everything in December. I'm wondering if we see a handle in December that rivals basically the highest of all time.
I can see your logic, and I have no argument with that. And keep in mind what we talked about with October. You're betting on two American sports. No basketball, no hockey, obviously no baseball, right? Or minimal baseball. So we're looking at a month where you don't have any of the normal things that you have in that month, and you're still putting up those kind of numbers. And to add to your point about December, Matt, we're going to kick off the NBA right before Christmas Day. So we'll have huge betting on the NBA on what's traditionally an enormous day for the market. I can't see where it would be much less than what we've already posted when it comes to that month. The only thing that could potentially get in the way is the fact that, you know, the national economy and unemployment benefits are, you know, wearing down for some people. Evictions have been up for some people as rent moratoriums are ended. So, you know, you could have some national economy effects, but if you just centralize in on what we know about the economics of sports betting, your logic makes perfect sense.
And Dustin, I mentioned all these sports, and I can't believe I left out your sport in ping pong, which we still see is doing quite well in Colorado.
Table tennis. Come on, everybody loves table tennis, right? It is behind other. It's wild that table tennis is not an other, right? It gets its own line item in this Colorado report. We can see it in some other places too, but usually it's just lumped under other. But you know, we got NFL, still baseball being resolved, and college football, and then NBA, and then there's table tennis, so almost double the amount of handle on soccer. I mean, the reason, again, I think we've talked about this before, it's one, volume. There are lots of table tennis matches constantly going on. Two, when you wrap up betting for the night and you like look at how your bets did on the football games or whatever you were watching, you go to the live tab and there's table tennis. I've never actually talked to somebody about this, like an operator, like why is this happening? But that's part of the reason. We have it here in Oregon. You look at the live tab, there's table tennis. Like, well, I guess I'm gonna bet on some table tennis because that's going on now. That's part of why it is, because you know you're looking at, you know, you're like, oh, I want some money, what do I want to bet on? Hey, there's table tennis, this is fun. And you know, you can find some live streams of it on the interwebs pretty easily. So it's a weird dynamic, and it's actually proven fairly resilient. Obviously, you know, when NBA and NHL and all those things come back, it will be behind those things, but it's certainly more popular than like a tennis and a golf and a soccer, just because of those opportunities. One, that it's going on when nothing else is, and the live market opportunities.
Yeah, it really is. It is benefited by being played in weird, you know, other places in the world, because then that means that there are games going on whenever you don't have other options to bet. And so unlike poker and, you know, when you can fire up a game, it doesn't matter any given time. The thing with sports betting, which is always the cap on DFS as well, whenever we were talking about DFS a ton, was the fact that you're a slave to the sports schedule, right? I mean, like with poker, you can start a tournament any hour of the day. Cash games run 24/7, but like you can only run DFS contests around when sports are actually happening. Same thing with sports betting. So when you're coming into these odd markets and these other weird markets, like you said, I mean, it's guys who log in first thing in the morning, check their account balance to see if they won anything the night before, and they're getting hit with, you know, a couple of Russian table tennis offers right there, and they're like, yeah, man, let's fire, let's take in some table tennis. And listen, the funniest thing I think, Dustin, about it all, and then we'll move on, not that we're going to sit here and just beat ping pong over the head, but like typically people like to watch what they bet on, and like you can't even watch this stuff, and it's just like people still continue to bet it like left and right. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, but there are like live streams of this stuff someplace. Yeah. It's not totally out. I mean, that's part of the dynamic. DraftKings product guys, if you're listening, don't we need some table tennis DFS too? Let's do that.
Yes, I do. I think that needs to happen for sure. And you want to talk about instant gratification? These matches only last like 12 minutes or whatever. So right. It's like, yeah, I mean, boom, you're in, you're out, you've got money in your account.
The KYC on that, by the way, is going to be that you're going to have to be able to pronounce the names of the guys that you're betting on.
Ooh, well, that just eliminated 94% of all of America. So that's unfortunate. The market is gone. Never mind. Okay, DFS contest on Russian table tennis is not happening. All right, Dustin, so let's talk about one of these other states that we have been monitoring, like, you know, up, down, and sideways, is Michigan. And so where do we stand?
So we got some fairly big news this week that we've talked on this, and if you've been following it at LSR, Michigan has been waiting for rules to be approved by the legislature, and that has finally happened, which was basically the stumbling block for the regulators moving forward with licensing and actually being able to launch any of the online gambling, sports betting, online casino, etc. in the state. So that step has now happened. So that frees the state's regulators to go ahead and start licensing, and you know, we do not have a launch date yet, but it should be relatively soon. And that soon may be as soon as later this month or early 2021. But The big thing is that stumbling block that we've been talking about for months now is finally gone. They got this procedural thing done in the legislature, so we have a chance of online sports betting, online casino here in Michigan in very short order.
Adam, I can only guess that the people of Michigan aren't too upset that they weren't able to bet on this college football season, though.
What are you talking about? The opportunity to fade Jim Harbaugh would have been welcome among many Michiganders.
I guess if they would have went about it that way, I'm just assuming they probably are betting on the home team and would have been left holding the bag a lot of times right there. So feeling pretty good, for, at least that they avoided this college football season with Michigan. Man, that is something else, I got to tell you. I not to get into sports talk radio here, Adam, but boy, that is how the mighty have fallen, right?
Fallen. I mean, yeah, you didn't think there was much more room to fall. It's not as though this has been a wildly successful program under Jim Harbaugh. Just look at the records against Ohio State and Michigan State. There is, however, an outside chance that COVID willing and sports betting willing, there is a chance you might be able to bet on Michigan, Ohio State. And that could be the ultimate fade opportunity.
There it is right there. Yeah, let's go ahead and let's get it going, guys. Let's get it going. Adam, let's talk about our friends up north here. I mean, this is one of the things we've touched on a few different times here, but you know, there's been sports betting up in Canada. It has been a parlay system that was run through the lottery. You could not bet on single games. And so, you know, a lot of the people up there kind of opt to go for the gray market stuff. And, you know, it's kind of like we've talked about before. We're like, listen, if you have a legal option, you should use the legal option. If you don't, then hey, we're not going to sit here and preach to you as to whatever. So, you know, a lot of these people up there have been using kind of this gray market options that's been available where they can do the traditional bets that, you know, you and I and everyone that lives within a legal jurisdiction can do. And it looks like maybe there's some change on the way up there in Canada.
Accurate information. As the federal government has now backed a bill to end the ban on single game sports betting, it certainly seems like before too long, we'll have the opportunity for sports betting in Ontario and beyond. And our Brad Allen did a nice piece over at LegalSportsReport.com where he discussed who might be the potential winners to come out of this opportunity. And I think the first one is pretty obvious when you talk about theScore, who has been a minor player in the U.S. thus far, hasn't really gained much traction when it comes to the New Jersey market and beyond, but certainly being based in Canada and having an enormous user base seems to be one of the ones who would be the most obvious candidates to jump ahead. And, you know, you have a quote in here from John Levy, the CEO, says, "We've got the inside track. This is something we've been working toward for all these years. Everyone knows there's going to be competition up here, just like in the States, but up here, it's them chasing us, not vice versa." And I thought that was really interesting because anything we get that is a tacit acknowledgement of just how far behind most operators are playing from in the U.S. when it comes to chasing DraftKings and FanDuel and even, you know, MGM and William Hill seems to be very interesting to me. There are other media companies that up there that might be able to cash in when you look at TSN and Sportsnet, who are big partner potential opportunities. So I think it's a really good article that's worth looking at, not only to talk about who might win and who might lose, but the size of the opportunity as well. theScore estimates the market potential in Ontario alone at nearly $2 billion in annual gross gaming revenue.
Dustin, just an opinion. Obviously, we won't know until things get going up there, but how accurate do you feel that statement is? Because yes, they definitely have a big brand up there, but you know, look, we've kind of seen this play out here in the States. So does MGM. So does Fox. I mean, like Fox, the brand Fox is synonymous across the United States. Like MGM has properties all over the country. I mean, but we have seen them not be able to really make, you know, gain a ton of ground here within the States. And so I don't know. I mean, people play DFS in Canada. I know this for a fact. DraftKings and FanDuel are certainly brands that are very well known up there. I think there's a little bit more of an advantage because it you know, theScore is such a huge brand up there in Canada, but I don't know if it's as big of an advantage as maybe they would think that they have.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the same dynamic is that they have in the U.S. is going to be in play in Canada. They have not been able to convert that user into a sports bettor, and that I don't see how that changes meaningfully other than they have more of those people, I guess, in Canada because they are a Canadian-based company. So, I don't think it's like it's a God-given right that they're going to just own Canadian sports betting. Maybe I'm wrong, but I was wrong in thinking they do better in the U.S. as well. So there's a lot of questions, and you and I touched on this last week when we broke down the news. But it's like there's no guarantee this isn't just that some of these provinces don't just run lottery monopolies like we've seen in several states here in the U.S. Lotteries are very powerful in the provinces, and there's some worry about that. So Brad's piece is really good. It's really kind of breaks down the dynamics of what's going on in Canada, because it's like, oh, we have same thing here. Like sports betting may become legal here. What's that look like? There's a lot of questions about what that's going to look like in Canada. And there's no guarantee that, any X, Y, or Z company is going to make a ton of money or be the company that gets the market access or the ability to operate in Canada.
So let's go ahead and head to another operator that is looking to expand their business, try to make some noise. And this is one that, again, I think that all of us who live in the bubble are like, man, I mean, this is a massive, massive brand. I can't believe that they haven't had any sort of penetration whatsoever. And then the people who don't know kind of where where this company is based and how big they are and all their operations go on are kind of like, oh, yeah, whatever, 888, what does that even mean? But we do have 888, Dustin, trying to make a little bit more headway here in the States.
Yeah, fairly interesting news. This has been brewing for a while, but yes, this is a pretty big brand in Europe, across Europe, a company based in Europe, and was an early adopter in New Jersey, has run poker and casino in New Jersey for quite a while. So it's been a little, and they have sports in New Jersey, but it's been a slow burn for them in terms of waiting out the market, and they hadn't really done anything else, and we've been waiting for that. So we've seen them sign trio of deals, now small in tandem, Colorado, Iowa, Indiana. They've partnered with land-based casinos, leading them to be able to launch online sports betting in all of those states. The 888, the brand, not a ton of like we talk about with the European brands, not a ton of cachet here in the U.S., but obviously a company that's done well in European markets and is now finally getting serious about expanding the U.S. business. We'll see what it does, but yeah, this is the first sign that they're really going to go try to compete with everyone else across several markets that have live online sports betting.
Every time an app goes live, every time you're able to access somebody on the web, I do that. I go in, I do the market research and stuff like that. So if anybody from 888 Sport is listening to this, Americanize your product. It is way too European and people get turned off instantly by going to the product. So free advice. I'm not even going to no charge, no nothing. But try and Americanize the product just a little bit, because it is very European, and a lot of people look at it and go, all right, I'm out. Like, that happens very, very rapidly.
So, Matt, what's the problem? Too many skinny pants or what?
Yeah, stuff like, exactly. Like stuff like that, too many soccer jerseys and things and whatnot. But yeah, it's look, 888, massive, massive brand. And I honestly thought that there was going to be, a decent chance that they were going to be successful here. But again, it's just the product alone. When you go, you just got to, Americanize this thing just a little bit. So I think they probably will, but when the first thing you pull up, like right now, just to let you guys know, when the first thing you pull up and you're getting hit with, oh, you can bet Manchester United Paris SG live as opposed to the NFL game that's kicking off in 10 minutes. There's a problem there. So yeah, they should be pushing the American stuff, not the European stuff.
But what an ugly American you are. Goodness, maybe people want to get some Man U down in New Jersey.
Listen, you can always pop that back up. It's an in-game play anyway. Pop it back up after the football game goes live, but you should be trying to push people to bet the daggum football game that you don't ever get on a Wednesday afternoon that you're about to get. So,
solid thought.
Hey, look, just a little bit of free advice. Just a little bit of free advice. And finally, let's wrap things up here on a quick little Wednesday pod. Let's talk about this piece that Brad wrote. It's an opinion piece, but I do like to hear both of y'all's thoughts on, who's going to end up third in the US market, you know, and who is going to be that brand. And actually, we just brought up one of the brands. We were talking about Foxbet, and there's a quote in the article from Flutter CEO where he was talking about the Foxbet brand in general and how, you know, hey, look, it's tough to get penetration with Foxbet. And, you know, he's very fortunate they have the FanDuel brand. And so we kind of look out there and the competitors, right, who's a real competitor for that number three spot. And of course there's MGM, there's the newcomer in Barstool, William Hill, who now with Caesars has been Caesars acquired William Hill. So that is obviously going to have a huge, massive reach out there, but you know, it's not, you know, PointsBet not really listed kind of as one of the true contenders here, but just y'all's thoughts, one, on the article, and two, who do you think has the inside track at the number three spot?
Well, let's start by acknowledging the dynamics behind the piece. FanDuel and DraftKings being number one and number two in market share in the U.S. is not a given in the long term. That obviously is how it's played out in the first 2.5 years. And you would make a smart wager to say it'll stay that way for the coming 2.5 years. But when we look at this market as a long-term play, there's no guarantee that, you know, they continue to raise the kind of capital that they have and continue to acquire and or keep customers at the rate that they have as sports betting expands to other states. Now, that said, we look at who's here now and we say, okay, now among those books, who has the best chance at pulling that mythical 10% market share of a third place book that we've discussed? So Brad went out, and it's not really Brad's opinion so much as an amalgam of opinions from those throughout the industry, both over in the UK and in Europe and in the US. And those brands that you mentioned being Foxbet, as well as Barstool and William Hill / Caesars, were the three that sort of popped up the most among people he talked to. You mentioned PointsBet. They certainly were among the discussion. There was some question about whether their cash reserves will be enough to keep up with some of the other books in this discussion. But Brad's piece breaks it down by saying, look, who has the best user base? Who has the best brand? Who has the most, the biggest marketing war chest? And I think that's where you start to get into some of the interesting questions as to how do you deploy the resources that you have moving forward. So, you know, I don't know that it's necessarily for me to say who I think is going to be third yet at this point. Frankly, in the long term, DraftKings or FanDuel could be third if someone really makes an impact, or if, you know, if somehow one of their advantages falls off. So, but I do think that he's identified the bigger players. MGM has the legacy brand and the partnership with GVC that shows the willingness to go in on this thing. And in year three, they've gone in a lot deeper than they had in the first couple of years. I think there was a feeling that, you know, they were going to sort of roll the ball out on the court and win by brand name early on. And that clearly did not work. The product was inferior. And you mentioned a European-based product before. The decimal odds were in there forever. And I don't think the product really was up to speed. They've certainly improved that, and they've certainly improved their marketing. On the Barstool side, I think the argument has been made repeatedly about what their user base looks like and how convertible that base is into users. And we've seen that happen early on in Pennsylvania to the tune of 12 to 13% market share. Who knows if that'll keep up. Caesars and William Hill, it's about footprint, right? It's not only the brand of Caesars, but about the retail footprint that William Hill has built in its markets. And, you know, the fact that it has the ability to distribute its name via ESPN with the partnership that Caesars had there as well. So I think those are all reasonable options, but I'll put it on Dustin's plate if he has a stronger take than me.
Yeah, Dustin, you know, again, MGM, Barstool, Caesars, William Hill. I think we all agree PointsBet probably a long shot. Bet365 probably a long shot when it all comes down to it. 888 even probably a long shot. But when we look at these, I mean, I guess one of the things that MGM and Caesars do have working in their favor that Barstool does not is the fact that they do have physical casinos. They do have physical presences across the country. And with us being in quarantine for so long, with there being this pandemic going on, what we've seen traditionally, if history repeats itself, which I can't imagine that it won't, is when we get back to normal, people have this pent up thing where they're going to want to go and do all the things that they haven't been able to do for the longest time. And probably a lot of that will have to do with going to casinos and getting back into, you know, doing some gambling and letting loose and cutting loose. And so wouldn't surprise me to see a little bit of a spike from MGM and Caesars when we get back to quote unquote normal. But I don't know if that'll be long term for them at that kind of number three spot or anything like that. I mean, with Barstool's built in branding, with Barstool's fan community that they have, there is at least a way for them to reach a customer on what should be a cheaper, you know, a cheaper customer acquisition level than MGM and Caesars even, because, hey, these people are coming to these sites anyway. They're reading these blogs anyway. These guys all have massive social media presences. So, you know, when money at the end of the day is going to be a big driver in all this, I think that there's at least the thought that Barstool could be a competitor.
Yeah, I like Brad's list. I mean, I agree with the universe of books that he has here, you know, MGM, Caesars, Barstool. Those are the ones, Caesars / William Hill and Barstool. Those are the ones that are positioned right now for various levels. I wish I had a hotter take like Adam asked for, but you know, there are various reasons all of these can succeed, but there are also plenty of reasons there might be issues. Yeah, I mean, MGM and Caesars, you know, seemingly have the will and want to do this. That's what I look at, is that they suddenly become serious about this. MGM more so, you know, we, like I said, spending is through the roof. So if they continue doing that spend, and being able to compete with the DraftKings and FanDuel, they will be there, in every state where they launch. And they the brand is certainly, you know, bigger and better than the William Hill and Caesars right now for sports betting. It's working. We know that. Barstool, we obviously just need to see more data, more launches. We're still waiting for them to be in any state other than Pennsylvania. So I'm not going to sit here and crown Barstool number three. We'll get the Pennsylvania numbers here in a little bit. They will probably be number three there, we presume, with a full month of football under their belts, but probably still trailing DraftKings and FanDuel. And what does it look like as they start eating? Can they eat into that? And what will they do to do that? Or is the initial bump from being from launch, is that kind of it? So we'll see. The Brad had put an honorable mention of 365, Bet 365 in there. That's the one that's intriguing to me. I think the points he had in there with his source is they don't need to do this. They are sitting on piles and piles of cash. They are a privately held company. They don't have to worry about appeasing stockholders and trying to grow the U.S. business. They are just kind of laying in wait. And, you know, I see a scenario in 10, 15 years where 365 decides, well, time for us to go, and they start doing something. That's a long time off, and who knows? We'll see. But they have a shot. They have a shot at it, I think. And I think we'd discount Bet365 at our peril over the long term. So it'll be interesting. This is the most from the industry side of things, this is the most interesting thing we have going, is how this horse race shakes out, and how people do it. And we have the gem of New York sitting out there. You know, the companies that have the New York access right now, where if they ever do legalize it, DraftKings, FanDuel, Rush Street, which we haven't talked about but has done well, and Bet365s, they have casino deals with the four commercial casinos in New York. And that's if you want to bank it on that, that's, you know, they have the market access in the largest state that's most likely to go live within the next several years for online sports betting.
Interesting piece. Definitely go over to LegalSportsReport.com and check it out, guys. Of course, we are on all the places that you hear podcasts. So Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google. Go in, subscribe, rate, and review. We really do appreciate you helping us climb the charts, people find in this podcast as well. I cannot recommend it enough. Follow Adam Candy at Adam Candy. That is two E's, no Y on the Twitter machine, at Dustin Galker. And if you want to be very disappointed in your decision, at Matt Brown M2, you can follow me as well. For Dustin, for Adam, I'm Matt. Talk to you guys next week.
Go through some emails, check your calendar, see that you have a 45-minute break in the day between meetings, realize this is your moment, so you drive right to McDonald's to pick up something extra delicious ASAP. Meal.
Thank you.
There's a meal for every moment at McDonald's.
Buy one of your select faves and get another for just a dollar every morning, like a sausage McMuffin or hash browns.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Price and participation may vary. Valid for product of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Combo meal, valid when product served.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.